Entangled Magazine, Volume 60, May 2022. Global Pandemic Treaty, Autoimmune Hepatitis, and Homo Novus, published by Anthony Patch. And he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of the temple will come the abomination that causes desolation, until the decreed destruction is poured out upon him. Daniel 9:27. The United Nations is accelerating the rate at which the World Health Organization is promulgating a new global pandemic treaty. It is doing so by employing their long-standing modus operandi of the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. Globally, these organizations are spearheading the dissolving of individual national sovereignty. For their part, the WHO is promoting their version of benevolent healthcare, first by creating the problem of a COVID-19 pandemic, secondly by falsifying data delivered to the media in promoting a fear-based reaction among the population, thirdly presenting their solution in the form of a so-called pandemic treaty. Within the United States government, the Department of Health and Human Services, a cabinet-level executive branch department, serves to protect the health of all Americans in providing essential human services. However, in a recent negative report by the General Accounting Office, the GAO, the HHS requires immediate changes in how the department mitigates public health emergencies. GAO 2019 High Risk List. Publicly released on January 27, 2022, the GAO placed HHS on its high risk list of government agencies requiring extensive changes or are vulnerable to fraud or mismanagement. GAO identified several deficiencies that include failing to establish clear roles and responsibilities across its numerous agencies, including the CDC, FDA and NIH, OASH, and ASPR. The GAO said in its report, HHS, quote, not being sufficiently prepared for a range of public health emergencies can also negatively affect the time and resources needed to achieve full recovery, end quote. More than a decade ago, the GAO made 115 recommended changes, with 72 identified in its most recent audit as unfulfilled. Within HHS, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Federal Drug Administration have colluded with the UN and the WHO toward the signing of a global pandemic treaty. This treaty is a product of the World Health Assembly and the International Health Regulations of 2005. World Health Assembly agrees to launch process to develop historic global accord on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. Link included. Excerpt. The Health Assembly met in a special session, the second ever since the WHO's founding in 1948, and adopted a sole decision titled, quote, The World Together, end quote. The decision by the Assembly establishes an Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, INB, to draft and negotiate a WHO convention, agreement, or other international instrument on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response, with a view to adoption under Article 19 of a WHO Constitution, or other provisions of the Constitution as may be deemed appropriate by the INB. Statement on the 10th meeting of the International Health Regulations 2005 Emergency Committee regarding the Coronavirus Disease COVID-19 Pandemic. 19 January 2022 statement. Link included. Excerpts. The 10th meeting of the Emergency Committee, convened by the WHO Director General under the International Health Regulations 2005 IHR, regarding the coronavirus disease COVID-19 pandemic, took place on Thursday, 13th of January, 2022, from 12 o'clock to 1700 Geneva time, CEST. The committee discussed key issues: vaccination strategies and the use of heterologous vaccine combinations, the challenges to maintain continued community buy-in for public health and social measures after 2 years of the pandemic and the risk of overly optimistic statements regarding the state of the pandemic. The increasing levels of threat and concerns about personal safety faced by frontline responders, advisors, and leaders of the pandemic response. The focus of response efforts on a combination of suppression of transmission and mitigation of severe outcomes and the need for an ongoing integrated One Health approach to SARS-CoV-2 surveillance, research, and response efforts. 75th World Health Assembly A75/18 Provisional Agenda Item 16.2 12th April 2022 Strengthening WHO preparedness for and response to health emergencies. Proposal for amendments to the International Health Regulations 2005. Link included. Excerpt 2. Following a notification, a state party shall continue to communicate to WHO by the most efficient means of communication available, timely, accurate, and sufficiently detailed public health information available to it on the notified event, where possible, including genetic sequence data, case definitions, laboratory results, source and type of the risk, number of cases and deaths, conditions affecting the spread of the disease and the health measures employed, and report when necessary the difficulties faced and support needed in responding to the potential public health emergency of international concern. Pandemic treaty needs to start with rethinking the paradigm of global health security. Various authors. Analysis source BMJ posted 4th June 2021, originally published 3rd June 2021. Link included. Excerpt. The Independent Panel on Pandemic Preparedness, released on 11th May, adds to the mounting calls for a new pandemic treaty that would address gaps in the global governance of threats to global health security. The emerging debate has quickly turned to focus on questions of structure and forms. A United Nations treaty or a framework convention under the auspices of the WHO, and verification and enforcement mechanisms, as well as on issues of process regarding who will have voice and how the negotiations will proceed. But we must not lose sight of its purpose and key objectives and what we mean by, quote, global health security, end quote. Indeed, the treaty discussions provide an opportunity and an imperative to rethink the paradigm of global health security that has shaped the current international response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Independent Panel on Pandemic Preparedness, link theindependentpanel.org, began its work in September 2020 and submitted its main report, quote, COVID-19, make it the last pandemic, end quote, to the World Health Assembly on May 11, 2021. The report reinforces the accelerated movement toward the establishment of a new pandemic treaty purported to strengthen global governance of threats to global health security. Excerpt. The Independent Panel on Pandemic Preparedness, released on 11th May, adds to the mounting calls for a new pandemic treaty that would address gaps in the global governance of threats to global health security. The emerging debate has quickly turned to focus on questions of structure and forms. A United Nations treaty or a framework convention under the auspices of the WHO, and verification and enforcement mechanisms, as well as on issues of process regarding who will have a voice and how the negotiations will proceed, but we must not lose sight of its purpose and key objectives and what we mean by global health security. Indeed, the treaty discussions provide an opportunity and an imperative to rethink the paradigm of global health security that has shaped the current international response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Excerpt. What all these measures have in common was that their ranking of countries did not predict the relative performance of countries in the COVID-19 response. The measures failed to account sufficiently for the impact on responses of political leadership, trust in government institutions, and country ability to mount fast and adaptable responses. For example, while the U.S. ranked highest in its aggregate score on the Global Health Security Index, it scored less well on universal healthcare access, and in relation to public confidence in government, received a score of 0, indicating a confidence level of less than 25%. The failure of these metrics to be predictive demonstrates the need for a fundamental reassessment which better aligns preparedness measurement with operational capacities in real-world stress situations, including the point at which coordination structures and decision-making may fail. The current pandemic will generate a wealth of data to guide that reassessment. Graphic description. Make it the last pandemic. Call for immediate actions to end COVID-19. Elevate leadership for global health. Strengthen the WHO. Invest in preparedness now. Establish new global surveillance system. Establish pre-negotiated platform for tools and supplies. New international financing for global public goods. Effective national coordination. Package of recommendations proposed by the Independent Panel for Pandemic Preparedness and Response. Scientific integrity. HHS agencies need to develop procedures and train staff on reporting and addressing political interference. GAO-22-104613, published April 20, 2022. Publicly released April 20, 2022. Link provided. Excerpt. The four agencies GAO reviewed do not have procedures that define political interference in scientific decision-making or describe how it should be reported and addressed. These agencies within the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS, are the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and National Institutes of Health, NIH, and the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, ASPR. For its part, the U.S. government, as a signatory of such a treaty, may be in violation of its own constitution. Excerpts of an essay authored by Sam F. Halabi of the Harvard International Law Journal lays out the constitutional crisis that may arise from a presidential signature to the proposed global pandemic treaty. Executive authority under the U.S. Constitution to enter a pandemic treaty or other international agreement by Sam F. Halabi. Link included. Excerpts. This essay aims to clarify what the United States may and may not do under its domestic constitutional framework, both to inform its global partners and to shed light on how the U.S. Constitution structures international affairs during emergencies. This analysis prioritizes what is possible. What the United States ultimately determines is, in the interest of its citizens, may differ. The United States, for example, may simply determine that a comprehensive and binding treaty is not in its interest. Constitutionally, the president may enter into an executive agreement, which may be defined as a, quote, treaty under international law, even if it could not be used to justify enforceable rights vis-a-vis states or individuals within U.S. territory, or as understood within the meaning of Article 6's Supremacy Clause. Excerpts. The President enjoys authority under Article 2 to conduct foreign relations without any congressional authorization. Since at least 1996, the U.S. President has issued executive orders tying his authority over national security determinations to the threat posed by infectious diseases. In 1996, President Bill Clinton identified new and emerging infectious diseases as a national security threat and ordered interagency cooperation led by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Most importantly, the order committed the United States to the revision of the IHR, at that time, a relatively limited international instrument committed to the surveillance and quarantine of only 6 diseases. Excerpts. On his first day in office, President Biden issued an executive order requiring the Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, APNSA, to, quote, coordinate the federal government's efforts to address such threats and to advise the President on the global response to and recovery from COVID-19, including matters regarding the intersection of the COVID-19 response and other national security equities, global health security, engaging with and strengthening the World Health Organization, public health, access to health care, and the secondary impacts of COVID-19, and emerging biological risks and threats, whether naturally occurring, deliberate, or accidental, end quote. Excerpts. The United States joined the world's most developed international infectious disease agreement, the IHR, 2005, on the basis of its membership in the World Health Organization and that body's authority under Article 21 of its Constitution to adopt regulations in specific areas of international health delegated to it. Arguably, U.S. participation in the IHR included tacit authorization from Congress as well, but because Congress authorized U.S. entry into the WHO, there was no subsequent need for the President to independently seek congressional authorization for the IHR's adoption. Even had Congress not played a background role, the United States joined the IHR out of national security interests articulated by the executive branch. Over the course of the late 1990s and early 2000s, infectious disease threats to global security proliferated, as did efforts to hide or obfuscate them. Excerpts. The President therefore possesses significant independent authority under the U.S. Constitution to address global disease threats to international security, although, as outlined above, he is limited with respect to his ability to dedicate financial resources. Indeed, the IHR itself does require commitments to strengthening the health system, advancing disease surveillance, and regulating of ports of entry, but the United States already had such systems in place when it joined. Outside of core disease detection and response capacities, the IHR largely committed the United States to information sharing, which has long been a proper source for sole executive action. The content and process of pandemic treaty negotiations will be shaped by current international agreements, including the IHR 2005, which the United States joined as a sole executive agreement through its accession to WHO authority. Excerpts. The components of a pandemic treaty are still under intense negotiation. At the very least, such a treaty would include provisions related to surveillance for new and re-emerging pathogens, access to vaccines, international biosafety, an international system for monitoring and compliance, and information sharing with respect to a number of classes of data, including research on diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines. Each of these aspects of the pandemic treaty will implicate a variety of sources of legal authority for the President to consult if, as is likely, there is not sufficient support in the U.S. Senate for a binding treaty under Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. Excerpts. The outcome of the World Health Assembly for the United States will depend not only on the priorities given to certain weaknesses in the global legal framework leading to the COVID-19 pandemic, but the constitutional framework that shapes the legal possibilities for what the President is authorized to include. As this essay has shown, a pandemic treaty, at least one achieved through presidential signature and 2/3 concurrence by the Senate, is not likely. However, a significant body of law dating back to the U.S. entry into the WHO and independent executive authority open up possibilities for the United States to contribute to and one day join a legally binding international agreement on pandemic prevention and response. Excerpts. The President may carefully analyze existing statutory authorities to shape the U.S. position on biosafety, intellectual property, and access to vaccines. With respect to sharing of information, the President enjoys significant Article 2 authority to negotiate provisions without congressional authorizations. Together, these constitutional constraints will guide the U.S. position on one or more international agreements governing pandemics as well as the specific provisions within each of them. The United States may in fact favor the establishment of a new treaty but insist on certain reforms at the WHO governance level before entrusting it with new and perhaps powerful authority to prevent, prepare for, and respond to future pandemics. Number 13. The United States may also be staking out a preliminary position of neutrality so that even its willingness to join may secure benefits from its participation in negotiation. Excerpts. Just as relevant is how the U.S. negotiating position will be shaped by its domestic constitutional framework. The U.S. Constitution charges the President with responsibility for serving as the voice of the country in international affairs with an important role for Congress and much less so the U.S. Supreme Court. Article 1 vests Congress with authority over most matters that require the raising and expenditure of revenues, the regulation of the armed forces, the definition of the content and relevance of international law, and the regulation of foreign commerce. Article 2 vests authority with the President to negotiate treaties, although two-thirds of the Senate must concur with the treaty text in order for it to become law. Separately, Article 2 authorizes the executive to, quote, receive ambassadors, end quote, which is generally interpreted to mean that the President is entrusted with the authority to recognize foreign governments and relatedly conduct diplomacy. The President is also the Commander-in-Chief, giving him independent authority with respect to national security. Excerpts. With respect to the judiciary, Article 3 dedicates to the U.S. Supreme Court original jurisdiction over certain matters affecting foreign relations, but the Court largely plays a peripheral role in the formation and execution of foreign policy and avoids adjudication of, quote, political questions, end quote, about foreign policy dedicated to Congress and the President. For example, the U.S. Supreme Court has determined that it is not competent to determine whether the U.S. Senate must concur with a President's decision to exit a treaty, even though it is constitutionally clear they must do so in order to join the same treaty. The pandemic treaty first floated by the President of the European Council, Charles Michel, in November last year, is now backed by at least 25 countries, including the United Kingdom, France, and Germany, as well as the World Health Organization. Graphic. Global support for a new pandemic treaty. The countries listed are, in Europe, Albania, France, Germany, Greece, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Spain, Ukraine, United Kingdom. In the Eastern Mediterranean region, Tunisia. In the Americas, Chile, Costa Rica, Trinidad and Tobago. In the Africa area, Kenya, Rwanda, Senegal, and South Africa. In the Southeast Asian region, Indonesia. And in the Western Pacific region, Fiji, and the Republic of Korea. Excerpts. Despite the availability of a specific constitutional mechanism to govern treaty relations, the presidentially negotiated Senate-confirmed treaty has fallen into desuetude. Since the Franklin D. Roosevelt administration, only 6% of international agreements have gone through the Senate ratification process. While the last Senate-confirmed treaty was the New START treaty with Russia, other agreements have been adopted through both chambers of Congress with the support of more than two-thirds of the Senate. It is clear from the composition and statements from current U.S. senators that a pandemic treaty has no chance of achieving two-thirds concurrence of the chamber as it is now comprised. Outside the treaty process, the president may nevertheless conclude agreements, including so-called congressional legislative agreements accomplished with varying levels of assent by Congress, and sole executive agreements concluded within the scope of the president's Article II authority. These kinds of agreements have been used since the founding and are the most likely routes to U.S. participation in an international pandemic agreement. European Council press release, 30th of March, 2021. Quote, COVID-19 shows why united action is needed for more robust international health architecture, end quote. Op-ed article by President Charles Michel, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros, and more than 20 world leaders. Link included. Excerpts. This is why the Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, ACT-A, was set up in order to promote equal access to tests, treatments, and vaccines, and support health systems across the globe. ACT-A has delivered on many aspects, but equitable access is not achieved yet. There is more we can do to promote global access. We are therefore committed to ensuring universal and equitable access to safe, efficacious, and affordable vaccines, medicines, and diagnostics for this and future pandemics. Immunization is a global public good, and we will need to be able to develop, manufacture, and deploy vaccines as quickly as possible. Excerpts. To that end, we believe that nations should work together towards a new international treaty for pandemic preparedness and response. Such a renewed collective commitment would be a milestone in stepping up pandemic preparedness at the highest political level. It would be rooted in the Constitution of the World Health Organization, drawing in other relevant organizations key to this endeavor, in support of the principle of health for all. Existing global health instruments, especially the international health regulations, would underpin such a treaty, ensuring a firm and tested foundation on which we can build and improve. The main goal of this treaty would be to foster an all-of-government and all-of-society approach, strengthening national, regional, and global capacities and resilience to future pandemics. This includes greatly enhancing international cooperation to improve, for example, alert systems, data sharing, research, and local, regional, and global production and distribution of medical and public health countermeasures such as vaccines, medicines, diagnostics, and personal protective equipment. Excerpts. It would also include recognition of a One Health approach that connects the health of humans, animals, and our planet. And such a treaty should lead to more mutual accountability and shared responsibility, transparency, and cooperation within the international system and with its rules and norms. To achieve this, we will work with heads of state and governments globally and all stakeholders, including civil society and the private sector. We are convinced that it is our responsibility as leaders of nations and international institutions to ensure that the world learns the lessons of the COVID-19 pandemic. At a time when COVID-19 has exploited our weaknesses and divisions, we must seize this opportunity and come together as a global community for peaceful cooperation that extends beyond this crisis. Building our capacities and systems to do this will take time and require a sustained political, financial, and societal commitment over many years. Excerpts. Our solidarity in ensuring that the world is better prepared will be our legacy that protects our children and grandchildren and minimizes the impact of future pandemics on our economies and our societies. Pandemic preparedness needs global leadership for a global health system fit for this millennium. To make this commitment a reality, we must be guided by solidarity, fairness, transparency, inclusiveness, and equity. Tracking public health and social measures, a global data set, link included. Excerpts. Public health and social measures, PHSMs, are measures or actions by individuals, institutions, communities, local and national governments, and international bodies to slow or stop the spread of an infectious disease such as COVID-19. Since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, a number of organizations have begun tracking implementation of PHSMs around the world using different data collection methods, database designs, and classification schemes. The Public Health and Social Measures, PSHM, dataset is a unique collaboration between the WHO and London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. It aims to collate PHSM data from the main trackers, bringing them into a standard structure and coding them to a common taxonomy. Personalized medicine in Homo Novus. Personalized medicine utilizes an individual's genetic and immune profile in determining courses of prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of diseases. This involves the sequencing of one's DNA, a process advanced through data from the Human Genome Project. What is the Human Genome Project? Goal: sequence all of the nucleotides in the human DNA sequence, the genome. Within the recent history of modern medicine, previous methods of treatment have been relegated to a system of one size fits all. This is especially true of the present administration of the various genetic modifiers colloquially referred to as vaccines against SARS-CoV-2, the virus, and COVID-19, the disease. Advocates of personalized medicine have advanced the overall concept to one of precision medicine, involving the silencing, editing, and addition of individual genes with their respective peptides and proteins either expressed or suppressed, the overall targeted effect being the efficacy of specific medications. Graphic. Current medicine, one treatment fits all. And future medicine, more personalized diagnostics. With respect to genes, the Human Genome Project sought to identify the individual base pairs, BPS, of double-stranded nucleic acids containing two nucleobases bound to one another by hydrogen bonds. These are the building blocks of the double helix of DNA, the base pairs of quinine, cytosine, and adenine, thymine, Q-C and A-T. The project began in 1990 and completed the mapping of approximately 85% of the genome with formal declaration in May of 2021 of its completion. Some 0.3% of the nucleobases were identified as potential issues, and the missing Y chromosome finally added in January of 2022. Human Genome Project. Determine the entire sequence of the human genome. Problem? It's really big. 3 billion base pairs. The interdisciplinary field of genomics involves the study of the function, mapping, and editing of genomes. Genomics, a field within molecular biology, is experiencing exponential growth. The cost of gene sequencing has plummeted from $2.7 billion to approximately $100 today. Genomics is an interdisciplinary field of science within the field of molecular biology. A genome is a complete set of DNA within a single cell of an organism, and as such focuses on the structure, function, evolution, and mapping of genomes. Genomics aims at the collective characterization and quantification of genes, which direct the production of proteins with the assistance of enzymes and messenger molecules. Genomics also involves the sequencing and analysis of genomes. Graphic: A Brief Guide to Genomics. Graphic: Genomics versus Genetics. Genomics: The study of an organism's complete set of genetic information. The genome includes both genes coding and non-coding DNA. Genome: The complete genetic information of an organism. Genetics: The study of heredity. The study of the function and composition of single genes. Gene: Specific sequence of DNA that codes for a functional molecule. While the majority within molecular biology profess a strong advocacy for such avenues to personalized/precision medicine, there are, however, detractors warning of unforeseen consequences to such modifications of God's original design. Graphic: Beginning with the current medical paradigm of healthcare focused upon the curative versus preventative, there are the financial incentives geared toward the overall sickness of a population. For example, hospitals are paid based upon the occupancy rate of available beds, not for the preventative measures that could be made available at such facilities. Adding to this, detractors of genomics and personalized/precision medicine point out that there are financial conflicts of interest among the advocates, specifically pharmaceutical companies having formed public-private partnerships with government agencies, provide funding, emergency use authorizations, and follow-on approvals for their gene-modifying products. With such financial incentives in mind, the overriding biological consequences must be considered as an existential threat to Homo sapiens. Publicly, representatives of the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum are declaring, not warning, of the synthesizing of a new race of humans, one we are warning of and labeling as Homo novus, literally meaning new man. The result is two species of humans, the first created by God in His image, while the second synthesized through the spirit of Satan himself and facilitated by technology. Homo novus is designed to be sustained not by the existing healthcare system, rather by new protocols based primarily upon the genomics of biology. In the past 30 years, a new field of biology has arisen known as vaccinomics. This is the integration of immunogenetics and immunogenomics, consisting of systems of biology and immune profiling. This represents a departure from previous vaccines and their development of empiric methods of isolation, inactivation, and injection, which resulted in one-size-fits-all vaccination programs. Vaccinomics programs consist of developing first viral vaccine-induced immunity, often claimed as herd immunity. This involves high-dimensional genetic, proteomic, large-scale study of proteins, and other assays, combined with novel bioinformatics. These include the application of the science base of pharmacogenomics and pharmacogenetics. Graphic: Reverse vaccinology, developing vaccines in the era of genomics. Various authors. Link included. Excerpts: The sequence of microbial genomes made all potential antigens of each pathogen available for vaccine development. This increased by orders of magnitude potential vaccine targets in bacteria, parasites, and large viruses and revealed virtually all their CD4 plus and CD8 plus T cell epitopes. The genomic information was first used for the development of a vaccine against serogroup B meningococcus, and it is now being used for several other bacterial vaccines. In this review, we will first summarize the impact that genome sequencing has had on vaccine development, and then we will analyze how the genomic information can help further our understanding of immunity to infection or vaccination and lead to the design of better vaccines by diving into the world of T-cell immunity. In moving toward personalized / precision medicine and away from empirically derived herd immunity is the advent of individual protective immune response to an antigen. This comprises a complex series of biologic, molecular, genetic, and physiological processes to be either activated or suppressed. Claims by advocates of vaccinomics stipulate this individual protective immunity requires specific genes to be altered with respect to their protein transcription, expression, secretion, and function, thus labeling such interactions as their, quote, immune response gene network, end quote, based upon the genetic immune profiling of the individual Homo novus. Graphic. To date, the one-size-fits-all distribution and inoculation of some 70% of the global population with the current crop of genetic modifiers has served as a singular population-based immunogenetic study. The resultant bioinformatics provided a roadmap to novel medications intended solely for the sustaining of Homo novus. Thus, the present healthcare system is destined toward planned obsolescence. Graphic. COVID-19 vaccine tip sheet. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. The sustainability of Homo novus is dependent upon overcoming the inherent genetic variations in the original human genome. Their final solution lies within the development of a singular sequence of base pair nucleobases of quinine cytosine and adenine thymine, Q-C and A-T, for this new race of beings. In producing a singular sequence of base pair nucleobases, individual or single nucleotide substitution is employed at a specific position in the genome. This is referred to as a single nucleotide polymorphism, SNP, or as a single nucleotide variant, SNV, within a DNA sequence. Graphic. Regarding the present race of Homo sapiens, SNPs within a host's DNA sequence are the most frequent type of variation in the human genome. These represent approximately 90% of all genetic variations attributed to SNPs. The Human Genome Project has estimated that 1.42 million SNPs are distributed through the human genome, with approximately 60,000 SNPs falling in coding regions. The development of a singular sequence of base pair nucleobases for all of Homo novus represents today's direction in vaccine response to immunogenetics being tested upon the majority of the global population. This sequence refers to the epigenome of DNA modification, protein-DNA interactions, histone modifications, and chromatin organization that together determine gene expression, genome regulation, and genome stability. During cell division, these attributes are heritable upon cell division, but varying during development, resulting in profiles unique to different tissues and cell types undergoing cell differentiation. Graphic. Healthy liver cells, normal, and autoimmune hepatitis. The present direction of immunogenetics has produced confirmed evidence of one specific severe adverse effect as a result of delivering the current crop of genetic modifiers to the majority of the global population, the emergence of novel cases of autoimmune hepatitis, AIH, among the vaccinated. Immune-mediated hepatitis with the Moderna vaccine no longer a coincidence but confirmed. Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. To the editor. We have read with interest the recent cases suggesting the possibility of vaccine-induced immune-mediated hepatitis with Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna mRNA-1273 vaccines for the SARS-CoV-2 virus. However, as the cohort of vaccinated individuals against COVID-19 increases, the previously reported cases could not exclude a coincidental development of autoimmune hepatitis, which has an incidence of 3 over 100,000 population per year. Our case demonstrates conclusive evidence of vaccine-induced immune-mediated hepatitis with a rapid onset of liver injury after the first Moderna dose, which on re-exposure led to acute severe autoimmune hepatitis. Autoimmune hepatitis following COVID vaccination. Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. Abstract. Unprecedented loss of life due to the COVID pandemic has necessitated the development of several vaccines in record time. Most of these vaccines have received approval without being extensively vetted for their adverse effect and efficacy profiles. Most adverse effects have been mild. Nonetheless, more serious thromboembolic events have also been reported. Autoimmune hepatitis, AIH, can occur in predisposed individuals where an immune-mediated reaction against hepatocytes is triggered by environmental factors. Vaccines are a very rare cause of AIH. We report two such cases of AIH triggered by COVID, Covishield vaccination. While one patient made an uneventful recovery, another succumbed to the liver disease. Ours is the first report of Covishield vaccination-related AIH and second ever after any form of COVID vaccination. We hope that our report does not deter COVID vaccination drives. However, we also hope to raise awareness of its potential side effects and the increased role of pharmacovigilance in guiding treatment. Probable autoimmune hepatitis reactivated after COVID-19 vaccination. Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. COVID-19 vaccine has recently been related to few cases of autoimmune hepatitis, AIH, raising the question whether there exists a causal relationship between COVID-19 vaccination and the development of AIH in predisposed patients. Several autoimmune diseases have been reported in association with the vaccines. In fact, AIH triggered by vaccination for other diseases has also been described. Autoimmune hepatitis developing after coronavirus disease 2019 COVID-19 vaccine. Causality or casualty? Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. To the editor. Severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2 SARS-CoV-2 infection has been associated with the development of autoimmune processes. Molecular mimicry has been suggested as a potential mechanism for these associations. In an in vitro study, Vojdani et al. Showed that antibodies against the spike protein S1 of SARS-CoV-2 had high affinity against the following human tissue proteins: transglutaminase 3, transglutaminase 2, anti-extractable nuclear antigen, and myelin-based protein. As this is the same viral protein that the vaccine mRNA codes for, it is plausible that these vaccines may unmask autoimmune diseases in predisposed patients. Recently, several cases of immune thrombocytopenia, ITP, developing days after COVID-19 vaccination have been reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, reinforcing the possibility of vaccine-induced autoimmunity. Another case of autoimmune hepatitis after SARS-CoV-2 vaccination, still casualty? Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. To the editor. We read with interest a letter entitled Autoimmune Hepatitis Developing After Coronavirus Disease 2019 COVID-19 Vaccine. Causality or Casualty by Brill et al. Recently published in Journal of Hepatology. We had a similar case, which strengthens the message of SARS-CoV-2 vaccines as a potential trigger for autoimmune hepatitis, AIH. Acute autoimmune-like hepatitis with atypical anti-mitochondrial antibody after mRNA COVID-19 vaccination. A novel clinical entity? Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. Abstract. Autoimmune phenomena and clinically apparent autoimmune diseases, including autoimmune hepatitis, are increasingly being reported not only after natural infection with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but also after vaccination against it. We report the case of a 63-year-old man without a history of autoimmunity or SARS-CoV-2 natural infection who experienced acute, severe, autoimmune-like hepatitis 7 days after the first dose of the mRNA-1273 SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. Liver histology showed inflammatory portal infiltrate with interface hepatitis, lobular and centrolobular inflammation with centrolobular necrosis in absence of fibrosis and steatosis. Serum immunoglobulin G was slightly elevated. Autoimmune liver serology showed an indirect immunofluorescence pattern on triple rodent tissue compatible with anti-mitochondrial antibody, AMA. But unexpectedly, this pattern was not mirrored by positivity for primary biliary cholangitis, PBC, specific molecular tests, indicating that this antibody is different from classical AMA. Anti-nuclear antibody, ANA, was also positive with a rim-like indirect immunofluorescence pattern on liver and HEP2 cell substrates, similar to PBC-specific ANA. However, anti-GP210 and a large panel of molecular-based assays for nuclear antigens were negative, suggesting a unique ANA in our patient. He carries the HLA-DRB1*11:01 allele, which is protective against PBC. Response to prednisone treatment was satisfactory. The clinical significance of these novel specificities needs to be further evaluated in this emerging condition. The mRNA COVID vaccine, a rare trigger of autoimmune hepatitis? Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. To the editor. We read with interest the letters Autoimmune Hepatitis Developing After Coronavirus Disease 2019 COVID-19 Vaccine, Causality or Casualty by Brill et al. And Autoimmune Hepatitis Following SARS-CoV-2 Vaccine May Not Be a Casualty by Rocco et al., which highlight the hypothesis that COVID-19 mRNA-based vaccines might increase the risk of developing autoimmune diseases. There are growing reports of autoimmune diseases developing after SARS-CoV-2 infection, including Guillain-Barré syndrome and primary bilary cholangitis. It is speculated that SARS-CoV-2 can disturb self-tolerance and trigger autoimmune responses through cross-reactivity with host cells, and that the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines may trigger the same response. An unusual case of acute cholestatic hepatitis after mRNA BNT162B2 Comirnaty SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. Coincidence, autoimmunity, or drug-related liver injury. Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. To the editor. We read with interest the article Autoimmune Hepatitis Developing After Coronavirus Disease 2019 COVID-19 Vaccine, Causality or Casualty by Brill et al. Recently published in Journal of Hepatology. In this case, autoimmune hepatitis had some atypical features such as the absence of immunoglobulin G elevation and the presence of eosinophils on liver histology. We recently observed a case of severe cholestatic hepatitis occurring after the administration of mRNA BNT162B1 Comirnaty Pfizer BioNTech with no development of autoantibodies and with the presence of eosinophil infiltrate at liver histology. The patient responded well to steroid treatment, similarly to autoimmune hepatitis. Potential antigenic cross-reactivity between SARS-CoV-2 and human tissue with a possible link to an increase in autoimmune diseases. Various authors. Link included. Excerpt. Since the outbreak of COVID-19 caused by SARS-CoV-2, we tested 5 different blood specimens that were confirmed positive for SARS-CoV-2 IgG and IgM antibodies. The measurements were for anti-nuclear antibody, ANA, anti-extractable nuclear antigen, ENA, anti-double-stranded DNA, dsDNA, actin antibody, mitochondrial antibody, rheumatoid factor, RF, and C1q immune complexes. We were surprised to find out that 3 of the 5 specimens had significant elevations in ANA, ENA, actin, and mitochondrial antibodies, but not against dsDNA or RF. This prompted us to investigate patterns of cross-reactivity between SARS-CoV-2 and autoimmune target proteins. Vaccine-induced autoimmunity from autoimmune cross-reactivity is associated with narcolepsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, multiple sclerosis, demyelinating neuropathies, systemic lupus erythematosus, and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome in susceptible subgroups as reported by Siegel and Schoenfeld due to the significant red flags for the potential cross-reactive interactions with the current COVID-19 pandemic. We studied the relationships between spike and nuclear proteins of SARS-CoV-2 and autoimmune target proteins. Graphic. Why normal people cannot go back to a normal life. Note, this paper is only intended for people who have rejected all experimental injections since 2019. Healthcare systems are being transformed to include synthetic people and exclude normal people. Healthcare systems and insurance companies around the world are moving away from traditional medical treatment to gene and cell therapy, GCT, which adds, deletes, or changes the order of base pair nucleotides in people's DNA, changing the original God-given blueprint and coded instructions and turning these people into synthetic humans, aka synths. GCT is based on computer systems and artificial intelligence, AI, rather than human intelligence. insurance coverage and medical fee reimbursement will favor GCT over human intelligence, so most doctors all over the world will be subservient to GCT or else lose their jobs. To qualify for many types of medical treatment, people will need to be synths. GCT requires delivery by injection with a hypodermic needle or application of a microneedle array patch. If normal people accept GCT delivery, they will become synths. Big money is driving COVID-related technology and other recent technologies. An increasing number of technology and medical-related businesses are making big money from COVID, and they want more profits in data scientists and people using AI algorithms always want more and better data. Governments are gaining more power and control over citizens through medical martial law and machine learning on big data from contact tracing apps and digital health passport apps. Governments' new ambition is surveillance under the skin through recently injected nanotechnologies, including billions of nanotelecommunications and nanocomputing devices made of graphene-coated quantum dots. The new surveillance under the skin includes coordinate and routing systems for nanonetworks in people's brains. This is based on 2015 Corona design. See Nanocom 15, pages 1 through 6, link provided. Demonic AI running on quantum computing is increasing the spread of evil. SARS-CoV-2 and related experimental injections and social engineering have been designed by AI running on quantum computers, and we cannot turn these computers off. So we can expect more bioweapons, more experimental injections, more lies, more fear-mongering, more chaos, more social engineering, and more. Social engineering causes people to follow a controlled narrative rather than use independent thinking and listen to the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. A co-founder of D-Wave Systems, the largest quantum computer manufacturer in the world, says that D-Wave computers access millions of parallel dimensions to gain information resources. But discernment from God tells us that these parallel dimensions are evil spirits that give forbidden knowledge. Therefore, we should expect the amount of evil in the world to keep increasing. War and geoengineering are leading to famine. The war in Ukraine and related sanctions are causing the prices of energy and fuel and fertilizer to go up. So this will affect the cost of living all over the world. The war in Ukraine is disrupting the planting of crops and the exporting of grain, and some experts predict major food shortages around the world, especially in poor countries. This typically leads to social unrest. According to Russian leaders, Russia also wants to invade other countries. Planetary life support systems have been greatly harmed due to geoengineering, aka climate engineering, done through ionospheric heaters like HARP and the dropping of particulates, aka chemtrails, from airplanes to deflect sunlight and toxify the land below. The current global population is no longer sustainable under these circumstances. The new internet and global financial system will only be for synths, not normal people. COVID has slowed down the global economy, and central bank currency debasement being done to keep economies running is causing higher and higher prices of consumable products. Eventually, the fiat currency bubble and the derivatives bubble will pop, maybe sooner than most people expect. The World Economic Forum, WEF, and other think tanks are promoting a great reset, which will discard the old financial system based on cash and promises and trust in people, and replace it with a new cashless financial system based on blockchain technology and trust in technocrats, computer systems, and artificial intelligence. The World Government Summit is calling for a world government run by technocrats and technology. Technology companies are working extremely hard to replace Web 2.0 with Web 3.0, so the entire world can enjoy fast internet services through 5G and 6G in smart cities. Synths will be able to enjoy 24/7 wireless connectivity to Web 3.0 and experience virtual reality in the metaverse without having to wear VR headsets, thanks to millions of nano telecommunications devices that have made their way through their bloodstreams into the neurons of their brains. Normal humans who refuse delivery of nano devices will not be qualified for participation in the new blockchain financial system or Web 3.0. Only God can help them survive outside the smart cities. Eventually, critical mass will be reached in countries around the world, and synthetic humans will turn against the normal humans in their smart cities. Therefore, it may be wise to move away from smart cities beforehand. Remember the Jews in Nazi Germany who were warned to leave, but did not want to until it was too late. The judgment of God on a sinful world was foretold and will increase. Regardless of the location of the computer that designed SARS-CoV-2 and the location of the laboratory that engineered it, COVID-19 is ultimately the judgment of God upon a sinful world to help people who fear Him learn righteousness. See Isaiah 26, 9-21, and Amos 3, 6. Most people do not want to turn from their sin and learn righteousness, so expect more judgment. In Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus Christ describes these times, stating that they will be like the labor pains of a pregnant woman. They will get more intense and closer together. God does not want His people to go back to a normal life. He wants them purified. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17. He has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12:26-27. For more information, please visit anthonypatch.com. Copyright 2022, Anthony Patch, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.